Will you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 49, please? Genesis 49. Our text today is Matthew 21, but first we're going to read some other scriptures to help us understand what happened in Matthew 21. So we'll start with Genesis 49. The triumphal entry, that's our name for Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey on his last trip to Jerusalem. Mark's gospel shows us that from the triumphal entry to Resurrection Sunday was 1 week. So on that Thursday was the Last Supper. Jesus was arrested later that evening. Friday he was crucified and buried, and he rose on the first day of the next week. So this entry to Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, gives us a picture of Jesus himself, the Lord we know and love and trust and follow. And so as we go through this story, let's see if we can make our understanding of Jesus a little richer and fuller from what he did here. Jesus staged an event. He set something up for people to see. He set it up so he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He said nothing to explain it. He just did it. Why? Why did he do that? That's the real question today. Back to Genesis 49. Old Jacob was dying in Egypt. He had all his 12 sons around him who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. And he gave a blessing to each of his 12 sons. And here is a part of what he told Judah. Jacob predicted a tethered donkey. Here's Genesis 49:10 and the beginning of verse 11. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. Okay, so Jacob is saying to Judah, a great ruler will come from Judah, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. So Jesus sends two disciples into a village and tells them there's a donkey and her foal tied up there, tethered. Untie them. Bring them here. And if anyone asks, tell them I need it. That's basically Jacob's prophecy in Genesis 49. The great ruler tied it up. Jesus unties it. But other than that, it's the same. It's the same. Zechariah also predicts riding the donkey. So now turn to Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9, near the end of the Minor Prophets. Zechariah writes perhaps 1,200 years after Jacob died. And Zechariah is writing to Jews who are back in Judea after their exile in Babylon. They've been back from Babylon about 20 years. And Zechariah, the prophet, also speaks about the great ruler that will come from the tribe of Judah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and I'm going to read the second half of verse 10. So Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Second half of verse 10. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So Zechariah tells Jerusalem to rejoice and shout because her king is coming. But Zechariah is also reading Jacob's words in Genesis 49. So we may assume beyond any doubt that Zechariah knows what Jacob prophesied 1,200 years earlier about the great ruler from Judah. So Jacob had said he will tie his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. Zechariah takes that a little further. He comes lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jacob said, the obedience of the nations will be his. Jacob said all the nations will obey this ruler from Judah. And Zechariah has read this, and he knows it, and repeats it. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. So Zechariah is using Jacob's prophecy, and he's adding to it. So things are changed a little bit in what Jesus does, but you can see that the foundation for this is laid there. So all the Gospels have this triumphal entry, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they all quote from Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 9. And that's as it should be. But remember that Zechariah was using Jacob's prophecy, and Jesus and Matthew also know about Jacob's prophecy, and they're thinking about it. Now, please turn to Matthew 20. This is the third. We've had Jacob's prediction, and then Zechariah's prediction, and now we're going to have Jesus' own prediction about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. So Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen in Jerusalem, and it was not for the Jews to praise him as the great ruler from Judah. It was something else. So we're looking here at Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus predicts his death in Jerusalem. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, Matthew 20, 17. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." That's Matthew 20. Our story is just a few days later in Matthew 21. Jesus will ride a donkey into Jerusalem. He will be righteous and lowly, like Zechariah said, but victorious. Will he be triumphant? That's what Zechariah had in mind, and that's what Jacob had in mind too, nearly 4,000 years ago now. But that's not what will happen, and Jesus knows it. And now, finally, with these three scriptures in mind, from Jacob and from Zechariah, and Jesus' earlier prediction about Jerusalem, let's read our text, beginning in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. Matthew 21, 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Why did Jesus ride a donkey into Jerusalem? That's the question. Jesus set this up. He decided to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Why? When in a few days the city leaders would condemn him and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. What did Jesus want to accomplish? That's the question. A minor point before we pick that up. Matthew wrote this to show that Jesus fulfills not just Zechariah's prophecy about riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, but also Jacob's prophecy about the ruler's donkey being tethered. Jesus told two disciples, "Go into the village, and right away you'll see a donkey and her foal tied up. Untie them and bring them. I need them." So Matthew quotes Zechariah, but not Jacob. But that happens often in the New Testament, that the writers refer to the Old Testament without quoting it. So they assume we've read the story, the Jacob story, and we'll get it. So Jesus was thinking about Jacob's prophecy as well as Zechariah's, and Matthew wants us to get that. But why did Jesus do all of this? What did Jesus want to accomplish? We're not mind readers, so we actually don't know, but we can figure some things out just by reading the story carefully. Jesus was obeying the call of God in the scriptures, and he was quietly sending out his message. Do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about Ezekiel? Do you remember how God called Ezekiel? God told Ezekiel, "You give them my message, whether they listen or fail to listen." You give them my message, whether they listen or fail to listen. Jesus knows he's heading into an intense week of teaching, and it will end in fatal rejection. Jesus knows that he's the coming king, though, and his task is to offer the Jews the kingdom of God. That's what God wants him to do. You offer the Jews the kingdom of God. And Jesus does not just happen to fulfill these Old Testament scriptures. These donkey predictions are the Father's instructions to him, and he's obeying the scriptures. These are God telling him what to do, and that's how he's taking it. So Jacob pictured the great ruler tying up his donkey to the vine to start celebrating. Jesus untied the donkey, but not to celebrate. And Zechariah, the king, comes in victorious and triumphant. But that's not quite how Jesus enters. Jesus knows how this is going to end. In Luke's story, while Jesus was on the donkey, he started to cry. He wept over Jerusalem because it will suffer so much for rejecting him. Jesus knows he's the ruler that Jacob had in mind, and that he's the king Zechariah had in mind, and he's announcing this as clearly and gently as he can. Does anybody get it? Not really. His followers think he's the Christ. They have a happy afternoon. But John's gospel tells us that even the followers did not understand that Jesus fulfilled prophecy until later. On that day, no one except Jesus understood about the donkey prophecies. God said to him, "Jesus, give them my message, whether they listen or fail to listen." And so he obeyed God's voice in scripture, and he gently announced himself. He was not always so soft-spoken, but he was on that day and often. What did the large crowd of followers think was happening? This was pilgrimage time. Moses instructed the Israelites, no matter where they lived, to travel to Jerusalem to worship at the one central place for three feasts every year. So our story takes place in the days leading up to Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Jews from all over the place are streaming into Jerusalem. Jerusalem got to be about four times its normal size during the pilgrimage and feast times. So pilgrimage is a happy time. People met old friends and relatives, and they celebrated together as they walked to Jerusalem and as they did their worship services in the city. So Jesus and his disciples and other followers are part of this big gathering. Jesus always had a crowd of Galilean followers, but on this trip, it's gotten bigger and bigger. In the previous story, end of Matthew 20, they went through Jericho, and it's already there a large crowd. So the 12 disciples, and he had a larger group of regular Galilean followers, perhaps a couple hundred, a larger group of men and women, and they are all pretty sure that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus has told them repeatedly that he will be rejected and executed, but none of them seem to have taken hold of that. They didn't get it. How many of the new followers think that Jesus is the Christ? I don't know, but it seems that quite a few at least hope for that. It says that the disciples put their cloaks on the donkey and that a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road in front of Jesus to ride over. There's a story in 2 Kings 9 about spreading cloaks. 2 Kings 9. In Israel, the commander of the army was a man named Jehu, the commander. God was displeased with the king of Israel at that time, and God sent a prophet to anoint Commander Jehu as the new king of Israel. So the prophet took Jehu aside to tell him this and to anoint him. And the army officers afterward asked Jehu what the prophet had said. Jehu put them off, didn't want to talk about it, but they pressed him. And so he told them, "The prophet told me, this is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel. This is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel." That's the prophet's words, and Jehu repeated it correctly. So the army quickly took their cloaks and spread them out under him on the bare steps. And then they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." Okay. The response of the officers in the army was to take their cloaks, spread them out under him on the steps, and then blow the trumpet and shout, "Jehu is king." See, what the officers and soldiers do is they make an instant throne out of their cloaks. What they are doing is symbolically putting themselves under him. So in this action, a person's cloak symbolizes the whole person. He is over them, and they put themselves under him. So spreading out their cloaks under him means they submit themselves to him. They put it into words, "Jehu is king." So they're putting their cloaks under him is doing the same thing as saying in words, "Jehu is king." They're putting him over them, the cloak representing the whole person. The two disciples on the triumphal entry put their cloaks on the donkey, and Jesus will sit on the cloaks on the donkey, and others put the cloaks on the road for Jesus to ride on. So in this crowd of followers, they believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, and they're submitting. That's what's happening there. But it is hard to say what the crowd really believes. When Jesus on the donkey and the shouting crowd get to the Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Do you remember what happened when the wise men came to Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 2? They came into Jerusalem and said, "Where is the one born king of the Jews?" Herod was troubled when he heard about this. It says, and the whole city was troubled with him. So this is the same thing. And Matthew hopes we will remember Matthew 2. The whole city was shaken because the king had come. But when the whole city asks, "Who is this?" the crowds answer, "Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Well, that's not quite the right answer. That's not saying Jesus is king. That's kind of disappointing. The right answer would be, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the king of the Jews." Later in the temple, in Matthew chapter 21, the children around Jesus say, "Hosanna to the Son of David." That's good. But at the end of Matthew 21, the religious leaders want to arrest Jesus, but they're afraid. They're afraid because the crowd thinks Jesus is a prophet. So, what is the very large crowd of followers really thinking about Jesus? I don't know. They are certainly acting as if Jesus is the Christ, the King. They're praising God and they're shouting Hosanna to the Son of David and laying their cloaks down for him to ride on. They're doing the right things. Some of them know he's the Christ, but quite a few just seem sort of excited about the whole event. So it's hard to say what the crowd thinks, and it probably varied quite a bit from one to another. The important thing though, people, this is important. Jesus truly was the great ruler from Judah. Jesus was the one that old Jacob talked about, and Jesus was the one Zechariah talked about, and he did actually come into Jerusalem, righteous and lowly, and riding on a donkey. And this also is important. The people with him treated him like a king. Jesus came in as God had instructed, and the crowd responded well at that time. They're praising God and calling him Son of David and putting their cloaks down. They treated him as their king should be treated. And so, in that sense, Jesus came into Jerusalem just the way he should have come into Jerusalem. But back to Jesus. Why did Jesus ride a donkey into Jerusalem? Jesus was obediently and gently offering himself to Jerusalem as her king. Jesus was obediently and gently giving Jerusalem this message, I am your king, I am the king God has sent you. He's obeying the voice of God in the scriptures, which showed how he would enter Jerusalem. Will he be accepted? No, he knows it won't work. But remember, God told Ezekiel, you give them my message, whether they listen or fail to listen. They are a rebellious people. And so Jesus sent the message to Jerusalem God had given them to send. He openly offered himself to Jerusalem as her king, and that's what he was doing. It was gentle. He did it with an unusual action, riding into the city on a donkey. He did not say a word. And the crowds around him, no matter how much they did or did not understand, did respond well. They lay down their cloaks and they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. So between riding the donkey and the praising crowds, Jerusalem did get the real picture. They saw their king coming to him, just as the scripture said. For Jesus, was riding the donkey into Jerusalem a success? Did he accomplish what he wanted? In a sense, no. In Luke, as I said, he wept over Jerusalem while riding the donkey. Jesus knew how this would go, how Jerusalem would suffer later for rejecting him. And they're rejecting him. And they were his own people, and he's not enjoying this. So he's disappointed, and he's sad for their sakes as well. But God had told Jesus, offer yourself to Jerusalem as the king I'm giving them, whether they listen or fail to listen, and Jesus did so. And that's the bottom line of what's happening here. In that way, Jesus accomplished what he set out to do, and the ride into Jerusalem was a complete success. So, my brothers and sisters, what shall we say to these things? This is a story about how God acts, and about how Jesus, our Lord, acts. How they do things, how they accomplish their purposes. And in a quiet and understated way, this is a powerful story about our Lord, the one we trust and follow. This way of acting resulted in Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This obedient, gentle posture resulted in him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which he now is. And Jesus still goes around the world like this, gently offering himself as king, whether people listen or fail to listen. And he still comes into our lives like this, gently offering himself as king, whether we listen or fail to listen. So, let's always be like those who put our coats on the road. And let's mean it. Put our coats on the road and submit. And when people ask, who is this? We will say, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has full rights to my life. This we will say, whether they listen or fail to listen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, our Lord, thank you for opening our eyes. We can read this story and get it. It says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and you have taken us there. Thank you for eyes to see, so at least we begin to see what kind of king you are, and you are the one who leads us to put, the Spirit leads us to put cloaks under your feet. Thank you. Lord, the obedience of the nations belongs to you, and we put our cloaks down with joy. We have the best king ever. And when we get a chance to say who you are, may we not waffle, Lord. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have full rights to our lives. With your help, may we see this freely and clearly. Amen. Here's the benediction. We'll all rise for the benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may the Lord Jesus and God our Father encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and every good word. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord.